seated. Thank you for standing with us. But dare to be different. Now, I shared with the youth last week this same topic on daring to be different. But in there, we mostly discussed, or I mainly preached about being different from the world. And I told them I would explain it further this week, not knowing the events that would be taking place or if we would be in here or not. So I wanted to keep my promise to them and share with them some more things about this. But I think I've adapted this enough and felt like the Lord really gave me some things today regarding this subject that will not only touch our youth, but it'll touch all of us in here tonight. Praise the Lord. How many of you know we need to be different? Amen. We need to be different than the world. We need to be different than some people who are in the church. We've got to be like Christ. Praise the Lord. I have in my office a couple of different quotes that are right now hanging on the wall. And there, one's on a whiteboard. I wrote it on there today. The other one's on a piece of paper that I typed out quite some time ago. And the one that I have written on the whiteboard in there, it was delivered to me via a text message from a friend of mine. And it's a very good quote. It's kind of a haunting quote to me today, and I'll explain that here in just a second, based on the circumstances surrounding it. But my friend said to me, he was going through some things, and I was trying to encourage him at the time, not knowing events that had taken place in his life. And he said to me, "Kenneth, I want to live in the truth." Everybody say that. I want to live in the truth. I want to live in the truth. And that's so true. I do. It's a powerful statement. I mean, it is just to think I want to live in the truth like Christ told us to live. But the reason why it haunts me tonight is because that friend was not living in the truth at the time he spoke those words or wrote those words to me. I didn't know it, and really nobody else did, only a select few. And now my friend is reaping the consequences of the choices he made in his life. It's very sad. And when I look at that quote, "I want to live in the truth," it reminds me how much I have to guard my life so that I continue to live in truth. And you have to guard your life so you can live in the truth. The Bible tells us to be in the light as He is in the light. And in order to do that, we have to separate ourselves from the darkness. And that is the world. So in order for us to live in the truth and to live in the light, we must be different than the world. Amen. We must be different. Now, the other quote that I have in my office, it's actually on your handout there on the next slide. It says this. This is just something that I wrote down several months ago, but recently I've been thinking and pondering it. It says, "A thriving church is a growing church, but the growth is brought about by the Holy Ghost moving in us and through us." This is the part I want you to get. People can see the difference. They can hear the difference. The Holy Ghost appeals to them to be a part of the difference because He made the difference. Amen. I want to be different like that. Amen. I want to be so different that people see my life. This is my daily activities and say, I want to be what that, I want to have what that man's got. I want to have what that family has. I want to be a part of that youth group. I want to be a part of that church because they have something different. Praise the Lord. I made a commitment to the youth, like I said, to preach about this. And so I'm going to teach or preach, or I may do a little bit of both tonight, just about daring to be different. Notice in the first verse that we read in Jude, we find that the author of the letter is writing to the church, and he calls them that are sanctified by God the Father. Amen. Them that are sanctified by God the Father. You know what the word sanctified means? It means to be holy, to be pure, to be separated unto God for His purpose. In other words, the word sanctified means to be different. Amen. In 2 Corinthians, we read, as Paul said, "Come out from among them and be ye separate." In other words, be different. Praise the Lord. Romans 12:1 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What is Paul trying to say there? He's trying to tell us, be different. Praise the Lord. We've got to be different. In the Old Testament, God commanded Israel when they entered into the promised land not to marry with the Canaanites and not to intermarry with the other nationalities that they would come upon in the promised land. And you know why? He wanted them to remain different. Amen. He wanted them to remain separated from their worldly pagan ideas and also from their theologies. He wanted them to be different. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm different. All right. In Genesis, God called out to Abraham. He said, come out from the Ur, or come out from Ur, come out from your roots, come out from the pagan lands, come out to a place where I have for you. Why? Because he wanted to start some nation that would be different, that would have a different mindset, that would have a different theology, that would have a different idea about worship, that would serve him and not serve themselves. Amen. God still calls us to be different. At the beginning of time, we know that Adam and Eve, they walked with God. God dwelt with them. They walked in the garden in the cool of the day. But sin entered into the world. And what did sin cause? It caused separation from God. So no longer was man like God. Man was now different than God. Man's always been different. But there was a relationship we had with God. But sin separated us from that relationship. But you know what? God calls us out to be different. Why? So he can separate us from sin. Amen. I'm so glad that even though my sin separates me from the Father sent His Son so His blood could come into my life and separate me from my sin. Praise God. I'm telling you, you need to dare to be different. Praise the Lord. Many times in Scripture, the command is reiterated, be ye holy, for I am holy. And God has a standard for us to live by. Everybody hold up your Bible or your iPhone with the Bible app open. This is the standard that we must live by. He is holy and we must be holy according to this word as He is holy. Now this type of teaching, even though I haven't said anything really negative or anything like that, would still be considered dogmatic and legalistic and narrow-minded by several people today, and it was no different in the days when Jude was writing. I mean, he was telling the people, you've got to contend for the faith. You have to be different. But he was warning them that in the midst of their churches, there was people who were trying to teach them a distorted truth. They were trying to take away from the gospel. And what they were leaving the part of sanctification out of it. We must be separated from the world and different from the world. In Jude, he wrote that those men had turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. Now, Adam Clark said this. He said, what that phrase means, it means that they made the grace and mercy of God a covering for crimes, intimating that men might sin safely who believe the gospel, because in that gospel, grace abounds. Pretty much what they did was they said, if you believe Jesus died and rose again, His grace is enough. You can go out and sin and do whatever you want and you'll still be covered by the blood. That's not true. Can I hear an amen? That is not true. Just because you have said the sinner's prayer, it doesn't mean that you're okay for the rest of your life and you can live however you want to. James is saying, you know, you've got to find the truth. You've got to defend it. Don't give in to the lies. They lead us to hell. He didn't say those words, but that's the message there. Defend the truth, live the truth, believe the truth, and trust the truth. And the truth is, you have to live holy, separated lives to make it. Amen. Now, those with kids, you'll understand what I'm about to tell you. If you have kids and you feed them hot dogs, it's a quick meal. We feed our kids hot dogs. I mean, if we need a late night snack, you want a hot dog? Yeah. Okay, good. All right. You stick that thing in the microwave or you boil it, whatever you want to cook it, however you want to do. But there are times when they want it a certain way. They want it cut in slices or they want it whole. Has anybody else's kids been like that before? They're temperamental. You know, you cut it one day. I didn't want to cut. You give it a whole time. I want to cut. Either way you cut it, it's a hot dog. Just eat it, you know? It's a hot dog. Sin is sin, no matter how you cut it. All right? No matter what knife you use, no matter what language you have, sin is always sin. And it always has the same result. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to just point to you a couple questions here. Number one, why should we be different? Why should we be different? And these are some things on your handout. First reason why we need to be different is because God calls us to live sanctified, holy, separated lives. He calls us to be different. Amen. Dare to be different tonight. Praise the Lord. You know, those of you who have jobs, those of you who live and go to school, those of you who are breathing tonight, these are some things, you know, that you may need to take to heart. You need to dare to be different. You need to dare to be the one who's honest with how many hours you work and you put on your time card. Amen. You need to be honest. You know, when I worked down in Texas, I worked with several guys who they were out in the field, and some of those guys were scum. I mean it. They were scum. They just were mean and ruthless in the things that they said. They were disrespectful. I mean, they just hated people, and they would lie. They would take each other's time cards and swipe them when the other one was gone so they would get paid extra money. I mean, that was bad. Dare to be different. Dare to be the one who is honest on his or her taxes. Dare to be the one who smiles on Monday or on Wednesday. Dare to be the one who encourages a fellow believer. Dare to be the one who puts modesty before culturally acceptability. Dare to be the one who filters their thoughts. How many can say you need to have a thought filter sometimes and a word filter? You know what I mean? Ooh, praise the Lord. Dare to be the one who puts away childish things and steps up to become a leader. Dare to be the one who steps up when everyone else is stepping out. Amen. Dare to be the one who lives as if God is right beside you. Dare to be the one who says no when everything around you is whispering yes in the midst of temptation. Dare to be different because God calls us to be different. Now, let me tell you this. Now, there could be a distorted view about what it means to be different. God doesn't call us to be poor. Although some Christians are poor, and that's okay. And some Christians are rich, and that's okay. But in the past, and some have suggested in history, that in order to be completely holy, you have to live a life without modern convenience or a pocket full of money. That's not what God says to be different. God doesn't call us to even be unpopular. It's not unchristian to be popular. God doesn't call us to be uneducated. You know, it's okay to spend money and go to college and spend some time learning. And reading books and learning about science and history. That's a good thing. God doesn't call us to be socially awkward. Just because we say we're Christian doesn't mean we have to be weird about it, right? God calls us to be different from the world. But this is what I mean when I say to be different. Proverbs 21:2 says, The Lord pondereth the hearts. God is interested in every decision that you make. Can I hear an amen? But even more than the decisions you make and the choices you make, He's interested in why you make those decisions. God wants our motives to be different. Why do you seek to be popular if you go to school? Is it to lift up Jesus or is it to lift up yourself? Why do you seek advancement in your corporate office? Is it so you can just get more money and be greedy, or is it so you can give more to missions and give more to God? Amen. Amen. Your motive. Your motive is important. God ponders the heart. Our motives have to be different than that of the world. We got to choose. Am I living to serve God or am I living to serve myself? That's an important question to ask yourselves tonight. Be different in that area. Now, God tells us why He has called us out to be different. And this is letters A and B here. God calls us to be different so we can be acceptable in His eyes. 2 Corinthians 6, 17 and 18 says, Wherefore come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. God's saying, if you'll be different, you'll be accepted by me. Oh, why can't I just be like everybody else and be accepted? God loves me anyway. Yes, God does love you just the way you are. But you can't be accepted into His kingdom until you have allowed His righteousness and holiness to be imparted into your life. Praise God. So God calls us out from the world so He can call us into His kingdom. Praise God. God calls us to be different so we can be accepted by Him. And then in the second second reason is so we can be blessed by Him. 2 Corinthians 6:18 says that He will be a father unto you. Ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Praise God. Isn't it awesome that God, who created all things, wants us to be His children? All you parents, think about it. If your kids wanted something good, you would give them something good. You would bless them. You bless them with shelter. You bless them with food. You bless them with an education. You bless them with things that they want. You bless them with clothing. You bless them with ability to go out with their friends. You bless them with carpooling and car rides everywhere they ask you to go. And you know, man's relationship with God is often compared at times as a servant to a master, but so many more times in the Bible, God lets us know that He looks upon us as His children. Praise God. He's not a dictator. Amen. He's a father. Praise the Lord. And He will bless His children. He said He would give to us in John 10:10 life and that more abundantly. Praise God. Amen. God calls us out so He can bless us, so He can give us good things, so He can protect us from harmful things. Amen. That's a good reason to be different, is so we can be blessed. Praise the Lord. And there ain't nothing wrong with being blessed. Amen. Praise God. And the second reason you need to be different is we must be different so we can make a difference. Praise God. God calls us out. We're commanded to be different. We need to be different. But if we want to make a difference in people's lives for eternity and for the kingdom of God, we must be different. Amen. Be different so you can make a difference. Now, Jude called out and appealed to the people to contend for the faith with a purpose in the end of his book that they would have compassion and make a difference in the lives of those around them. Praise the Lord. Now, I just want to tell you something tonight that's really important, and that's that the world is attracted to different things. Not various things, I mean to things that are different. I mean, they are. They're attracted to things that are new because they're different. They like to see things that are different. It sparks their curiosity, and also it lets them know what they're missing out on. My friend, Brother Brian McKelvey, the youth pastor down in Dayton at Union Road, he was going to driver's education with a girl, and they had known each other as little kids. She actually had gone to his church when she was younger, and her parents had left the church and backslidden, and so she hadn't been in church for quite some time. But there in that class, they would sit together and they would talk, and they got to know each other again, reacquainted, and he would try to witness to her and try to show her, you know, her need for Jesus. Now, this young lady worked at McDonald's, and every Sunday night the youth group would go out to McDonald's together, and they would go there, and she would be there working behind the counter, and she would notice them. She would notice these young people, and she noticed that they had something different. Now, these teenagers were still just like her. They were teenagers. They were still immature. They were still going through problems. They still had broken homes. They still got into trouble at times. But there was something different. Because they had decided that no matter what happened, they would get back up and follow Jesus. Amen. And this world would be left behind them. Praise God. And she took note of that. Amen. You know why? Because it was different than what she was used to. They weren't like her friends at school. They were different. Praise God. That's why we've got to be different. And that young lady came to know Jesus as a result of their being different. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm telling you, when you decide to be different and be like Christ and live like Jesus and not go the way of the world, you'll make an impact on people's lives. Amen. Praise the Lord. Another one of my close friends, you probably know him, Brother Tim Lorito. When he was growing up, just a young child, a baby, his mom was an atheist. His mom didn't believe in God. His mom didn't care about religion, not one bit. And she was completely against everything that was God. Her family still to this day is a bunch of atheists. But one day she had her kids when they were babies. She was talking to them outside somewhere. They were out and about. And she noticed a Pentecostal lady with her children. Now, first of all, I want to point out to you that there was a difference in that Pentecostal lady for Sister Marna to realize that she had something different just on sight. I mean, she could look at that lady and notice this lady's got something different. She's Pentecostal. And so Tim's mom said that something told her to go and talk to this Pentecostal lady, and that this Pentecostal lady would have answers for her life. And so she heeded to that inclination to go do that. And she went and talked to the lady, and she didn't know who she was, but she knew this lady had something different, and she was different than her. And so she began to talk to her. And as a result of that conversation, Sister Marna came to know Jesus. Amen. Amen. Isn't that awesome? And as a result of that, her husband came to know Christ. And as a result of that, her son and her daughter came to know Christ. Her son is an associate pastor and an evangelist now. Her daughter is fluent in Spanish and has done missionary work in Mexico. You know why? Because one lady decided, I'm going to be different than the rest of the world. I'm going to be like the Bible says. I'm going to live like Christ. I'm going to go with what Jesus tells me to go with. I'm going to say what He says to say. And that's a good reason for you to be different, because you never know whose life you're going to touch. You never, ever know. You that work at Wendy's, you never know how important it is the way you talk to your fellow co-workers. What difference it'll make in their lives. Praise the Lord. Those of you who go to school and are in college, and those of you who have grandkids, and the way that you speak to people, the way that you treat others, the way that you carry yourself, it matters a whole lot. And if you aren't careful and you carry yourself like the rest of the world, you'll never make a difference. And actually, you'll lead people down to hell because of it. You've got to choose to be different. Now, when I worked at the bank, based on my position as a pastor, a youth pastor, I worked at a bank in Texas while I was a youth pastor down there. The other employees knew that I was different, but they also knew I was different based on how I talked about church rather than the parties that they went to. When I was in the room, they hushed their improper speech, and they wouldn't take the name of the Lord in vain because they knew there was something different there. They knew I was different because of the places I attended and the places I chose not to attend. They knew I was different because of the worldly things that I was unassociated with when they spoke of, and I didn't have a clue what they were. One lady even asked if I was Amish. I don't know. I walked out and she's like, "Is he Amish or something? Do they not have electricity? What's going on?" No, I just chose to be different. And I promise you, when you choose to be different, I'm talking everybody in this room, your peers will open up to you for answers about situations that they're dealing with in their lives. When you choose to be different, you will find that people at your workplace, they'll come to you and say, "Will you pray for me? Will you pray for my cousin? Will you pray for my grandpa? Will you pray for my mom? They've got cancer. I don't know what else to do, but will you pray?" I've heard of it happening, and it's happened to me before. But when you're different, they'll question you why you do things according to the Bible. And that'll give you a road to witness, praise the Lord. Isn't that awesome? Just by making a decision to be different, praise the Lord. And when these things are happening, know that you are making a difference. Praise God. Sister Deja, when kids are coming up to you and asking you why you carry your Bible, why you wear a skirt, know you're making a difference at your school. All right? No, when these people are requesting your prayers, you're making a difference. Amen. The last question I have there is, how can you be different? And we won't spend much time on this one. How can you be different, and how can you stay different? Number one, this is something Brother Jones has been preaching to us for a while. And aren't you enjoying those Sunday morning messages about drawing lines? I mean, they are helping me so much. Praise the Lord. Draw some lines in your life and stay committed to those lines. All right? And I just want to give you three or four lines that you might want to draw tonight. And they're not on your handout, so you can take notes if you want to. One line you need to draw is that nothing is more important than God. All of you. Nothing is more important than God. It's so easy for us to believe the idea that God is going to understand our reason for putting other things before Him. You know what I mean? I've heard excuses why somebody didn't do this or that, and they made a commitment to do it for the Lord. Well, this happened and that happened and that. And God understands because this is just something big that came in, and you know what? God don't understand that. He wants to be number one in your life. Now, if your ox is in a ditch and you got to go get your ox out of the ditch and you can't pray for an hour because you had to get your ox out of the ditch, God understands that, all right? But I'm saying time after time when you're like, man, I got to go to practice. I got to do my homework. I got to go over here to this situation. My friend invited me over here, so I need to go be with him. Or, oh, man, I can't do that. No, God wants you to put him first. Don't convince yourself that it's okay this time because it isn't. Because one time leads to another time and another time and another time to be unfaithful to God. Absolutely nothing comes before God. Second thing, choose to be holy and pure. That's another line to draw. Choose to be holy and pure. My sister-in-law down in Texas, she quit drinking Cokes. That is not a good thing. I mean, we like our Coke, okay? But she quit drinking it so she would feel better physically and so her husband could lose weight because he had made a commitment to lose some weight. So she didn't want to be tempted to drink Coke and then blow his diet. So she quit drinking Coke. And now that he's lost all this weight, she still refuses to drink Coke. And we were down there and I was like, hey, Leslie, drink a Coke. And she's like, no. I was like, Leslie, pizza is so good when you have a Coke. No. Leslie, you've got to drink a Coke. No. I mean, I couldn't get her to drink it. Every argument I gave her was shot out the water. Because she said, I'm going to keep that impure stuff out of my body. And she was sticking to her decision. You know, I've looked at some things on YouTube about Coke, how people dropped a penny or a nail in there and it dissolved after a few days. When you think about Coke, you can understand why people won't want to drink it. But it's just so good, right? But we've got to make a decision, like my sister-in-law made, about keeping impure things out of our lives. We have got to keep the world out. Praise the Lord. We can't consume the impure items and materials and the music and the movies and the atmospheres that the world does. We've got to throw those things away and we've got to choose to be pure and holy. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Sanctification is God's work and it's our work. He makes us holy when we get saved. It's a continual process. As we grow in Him, we become more and more sanctified. But we have to choose to remain holy. Amen. He makes us holy, we choose to remain holy, and then He keeps us holy. Praise the Lord. Third line you need to draw tonight, learn when to walk away and when to speak out. All right? There are some things you walk away from, but there are other things you stand up against. Okay? You walk away from things, and you stand up against other things. We were eating at a Shoney's restaurant in Kentucky. And my grandpa, every time grandpa went down to Kentucky when we were kids and we went with him, we always got to eat at Shoney's. That was one of the highlights of the trip. Shoney's breakfast bar. Y'all ever been to Shoney's? Raise your hand if you ever been to Shoney's. That place is so good. It used to be. But one day my grandpa saw something the cook did and he didn't wash his hands afterwards. And so my grandpa said, it's time to speak out. He went to the manager. Boom. The things changed right there, all right, you know. He said, hey, that cook's got to be clean and sanitary. He can't be dirty and making my food. You got to learn when to speak out. You can't let sin and impure things infiltrate your life. You got to learn when your friends and when your coworkers or even when some of your family wants you to be involved in things that you know are worldly to the core. You got to learn to speak up and say no and walk away. Second thing on the list on your handout, believe, read and live the Word of God, the Bible. Get involved with it. The Bible will tell you things that's going on in our world today because it's a living Word. The Bible will tell you things about yourself that you've never known when you read it. The Bible will tell you the truth and how to know the truth. Amen. And Jesus is the truth. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thirdly, get filled with the Holy Ghost and stay full. That's a good way to make sure that you stay different and that you are different is that you get filled with the Holy Ghost. Jude 20 said to pray in the Holy Ghost. We've got to get filled and stay filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Number four, fall in love with Jesus every single day. Every single day. Jude said to keep yourselves in the love of God. Now, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Romans 8 tells us that. We can't be separated from God's love. God's going to love us tomorrow no matter what we do today. And that's an awesome thing about our loving, gracious, merciful God. But what he's saying is keeping yourselves in the love of God. It's kind of like he's saying keep yourselves in love with God. Because you can separate yourself from your love for God. You can say, well, I'm just going to decide to love something else. You know, divorces just don't happen. Oftentimes, an excuse for a divorce is, I just don't love her anymore. I just don't love him anymore. That doesn't happen. If you're in love, you don't just fall out of love. You know, you start loving gambling or drinking or alcoholic beverages or drugs or somebody else. You know, things get in the way of that love. Fall in love with Jesus every day. Number 5, lean on his mercy. Because he's able to keep you from falling. Praise the Lord. The Bible says his mercies are new every morning. And we've got to look for his mercy. Because each and every one of us is going to fall a time or two in this walk. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to break our promises we make to God. We're going to walk away from our commitments. But we've got to look to the mercy of God to keep us, amen, from falling completely away. Stand with me tonight. Somebody usually come to the piano at this time? Praise the Lord. Number 6. We're closing with this. Look for his return. A good way to make sure that you stay different is that you're always looking for the return of Christ. When Jude said, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. He's saying two things. Look for his mercy every day and also look for his appearing. Because his final act of mercy is going to be taking us to be with him forever. Praise the Lord. So look for his mercy today, tomorrow. And be looking for his merciful call to heaven. Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy 4:8. We're told, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. If you want to make a difference, you're going to have to be different. If you want to make it to heaven, you're going to have to be different. If you want to be blessed by God, you're going to have to choose to be different. I don't know about you, but I want to dare to be different tonight. Who else is with me? I mean, who'll say, I want to dare to be different. Praise the Lord. Let's sing this song, The Key of G, sister. Let's sing, Make Me in Your Image. Make me in your image. Wash me white as snow. Purify this heart of mine. Lord, I'm giving you control. I want to be a vessel. Lord, I'm willing to be used. Make me in your image. Make me more like you. Oh, make me in your image. Wash me white as snow. Purify this heart of mine. Lord, I'm giving you control. I want to be a vessel. I'm willing to be used. Make me in your image. Oh, make me more like. Sing it one more time. Make it your prayer. Make me in your image. Wash me white as snow. Purify this heart of mine. Lord, I'm giving you control. I want to be a vessel. I do, Lord. Lord, I'm willing to be used. Oh, make me in your image. Make me more like you. Brother Jones, why don't you come and just...